Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I believe you were the first to arrive.
I think so. I just sat down. Perfect time for my sit-down break. I'm going to get back with you. I'm not trying to correct you. I'm just trying to understand that date. It just doesn't look, when I add it up, it doesn't look right. So I may have typed it up wrong. But I'll get with you as soon as I have a chance. Tony's real busy with the yard. And so I'm back and forth.
Okay.
Gabriella? Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
How are you, Gabriella?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing well. May
Great.
I ask where you're from?
Lake Charles. I live two doors down from Connor.
Okay. She has mentioned you to me, so I'm glad to see you've joined us.
Thank you.
And I am too.
And I am too.
Well, we can get a little bit started by me telling you where on the Yeshem website is the handout.
Okay, let me mute first, okay? Excuse me.
Okay, the handout for the class is on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix. And the way you find that is go to the Yeshem.com website. And Yeshem is spelled Y-E-S-H-S-H-E-M as in Mary, .com. And there's a red bar at the top, and one of the links in that bar is Revealed Wisdom. When you click on that, and that page opens up, you scroll down about an inch and a half, and you'll see some green and white lines that are basically four columns. The column on the left is titled Basic Classes. And this is the beginning, which is Basic Class 1. And that's the link to click. When you click that, scroll down to the bottom. Excuse me 1 minute. Thank you. I have returned. I apologize for the interruption. But we are continuing. So when you scroll down and you click on Basic Class 1, when that page opens up, scroll down to the bottom where it says Handouts. And the first link says Handout for the First Basic Class. And that's where we're going to start. And my pattern is to have a handout that I read but I also make commentaries and then make additions to the handout verbally. So I don't mean to confuse you as we go through it. And feel free to unmute yourself by pressing *6 and ask any questions along the way. This is not a lecture. This is an interactive class. Before I start, we normally do a anabatoa, which is a paragraph that's very significant energy-wise. And we'll learn about that in the third class. But it's good for us to do that beforehand. So I'm going to do it very quickly, and then we will begin. Anabekoa, Gedula Chemincha, Katim, Serura, Aleph Bet Gimel, Yutah Tzadik, Kabel Rinat, Amcha sag beinu, daharenu nora, Kufrei Shayin, Sintet Nun. Na gibor, dorshei yehudcha, kevavat shamrem, Nun gimel dalet, yudkaf shin. Barchem tacharem rachamei sitkatcha tamid gamlem betet resh tzaditat gimel Hasin kadosh berov tucha nael adatecha Chetkuf bet tet nunayin Yachid ge'e lamcha p'nei zokrei kedushatecha Yud gimel lamed pei zayin kuf Shavatenu kabel ushmat yakatenu yodeya ta'alumot Shin kufat tzariyut taf In the eighth verse of the Anabekoach, we say in a whisper, So I've explained where the handouts are, but I'm going to do a few introductory points. What I teach is called experiential. It's not intellectual. And what is the difference? Intellectual is the way most classes are taught in the Western world, the way most people learn. It's a mental process. You learn intellectually. Experiential is you do meditations, you do connections, you strive to bring the learning into your actions. So that requires a lot more thinking, a lot more action, and it requires you to do more effort. But it's beneficial to do that effort. And there's really only one rule in the classes. Please never believe a word that I say. I'm going to say a lot of words, and I'm going to say a lot of things that don't necessarily make sense logically. And I don't expect you to believe those words. But I do ask, if I ask you to do a particular paragraph of Hebrew, I ask you to scan it if you don't read Hebrew. I will ask you to read it if you do read it. I will ask you to do things, and that I request, you don't have to believe it, but it's important that you do it. And at the end of a 3-month period, which is about how long the basic classes will take, maybe 4 months, depends on what weeks we have to skip because of holidays or other interruptions. And I don't mean to say that a holiday is an interruption. But if you do these things, you will come to understand, you will come to believe them, you will come to see that they work in your life. But don't do it because you are following me as a teacher. Do it because you've tried it, you've experienced it, you've done actions, and you see the results in your own life. If the end of the 3 or 4 months, you come back and you say to me, or you think, nothing's really changed, then this subject of the principles of Kabbalah is not for you. But I've never had a student tell me that. They've all said this works. Sometimes they've said this works, but I still don't want to do it. And that's quite all right. But I'm asking that you give it that 3 or 4 month period to test it for yourself. And that's the meaning of an experiential instruction. I will begin to read. And by the end of this class, you'll get a sense of that experiential. This is not a class in academic Kabbalah. If that is what you wish to study, I can direct you to another teacher who teaches that approach to the Kabbalah. I teach an experiential Kabbalah. I teach you how to experience the source of Kabbalah in your life. This level of experience varies and is relative to the desire of the person. If someone desires to have psychic abilities, including the ability to, which we term mind over matter, the Kabbalah will teach you how to achieve that. To achieve that will be up to you. How willing are you to follow the instructions in order to receive this level of consciousness? Is your desire to have a personal experience with the Creator? Then that can be achieved as well. If your desire is to live a less chaotic life, irrespective of the experience of the Creator, that also can be achieved through Kabbalah. What you receive from the study of Kabbalah is up to you. This will become more clear as our classes continue. There is only the one rule that I have already explained. Never believe a word I say. You will either come to know that what I say is the truth, or you will move on to continue your search for truth in your life. This will be true in 90 days. It will be true perhaps in less time. Let us start with the understanding of knowledge versus belief. Close your eyes and visualize me holding a pen and standing in front of you. If I drop the pen, will it fall to the floor or the table? Depending on what you have visualized, I was holding it over. Of course, people will say that it will fall. Now I ask you to do you know it will fall, or do you believe it will fall? What is the difference between knowledge and belief? Belief has an element of doubt, while knowledge comes from experience. This class is based on experience. You know that the pen will fall because you've seen things fall from your hand a million times. You've learned intellectually about gravity. You don't believe that gravity exists, even though you cannot see the power of gravity. You know it works. This is knowledge. Do you believe that gravity exists? For some people, even a million times that they've seen something fall is not sufficient for them to say, I know that it will fall. Each person has to determine for themselves what is truth. And when you believe something, you're expressing doubt. You're not sure. You are uncertain. Kabbalah is designed to take you out of that frame of reference, to that consciousness of belief, and bring it into certainty, bring it into knowledge. The knowledge that is your experience, the knowledge that only you know, because you're the only one who has experienced it. Both of us might see the pen fall, but how I interpret gravity's effect, we can see things differently. You can never explain your knowledge. You can give me logic and go through step by step to prove something mathematically, intellectually, logically. You can go through all of those steps, but ultimately, you cannot prove it to anyone else. You only prove it to yourself. You only experience it yourself. Because what you experience is different than what I experience. I'm continuing to read. Belief has an element of doubt, while knowledge comes from experience. This class is based on my experience, but it's also based on giving you those experiences for you to interpret as you see fit. We do not use the word belief. In time, you will decide which word you wish to utilize. I know the Creator. I do not believe in the Creator. I have experienced the Creator. Can I prove that to you? The answer is no. Nor will I ever try. My knowledge of the Creator is my personal experience. It's up to you to do the actions that I suggest that in time will allow you to perceive the Creator in His actions in the world. I know that there is reincarnation. I do not believe in reincarnation. I know Hebrew astrology. I know Hebrew astrology is a tool to predict accurately coming events. Yet I will not predict future events because they don't have to happen the way I say. They're influenced by every other human being, by the effect of the astrological energies, the astrological influences that each human being perceives and experiences. I do not believe that everything I've said to you is true. I know that everything I've said to you is true, but it is my truth. I cannot take out of my head my truth and put it in your head so that you have the same experience. I can just suggest to you to do the things that I suggest, that my teacher suggested to me, and then you will determine for yourself how you perceive it. Is a glass half full? Is a glass half empty? People perceive the glass differently. There's a third possibility that people are never given the choice of, and that is there's just a glass with some water in it. There's no need to say it's half full. There's no need to say it's half empty. There just is a glass partially filled with water. What is your experience? How will you perceive that glass with the water in it? Welcome to the introductory class on Kabbalah. I hope you will stay and continue with this series of classes. The choice will always be yours. I will only promise you one thing. If you study this material and you use it in your life will become less chaotic. I promise that to you. But only you can know if it's true. Only you can perceive whether it works. To the degree that you utilize the tools that I will explain to you in these series of classes, to the extent the chaos is eliminated. What is Kabbalah? The typical answer from an intellectual is it's Jewish mysticism. Judaism is a religion. Religion is something that was created and is created by mankind. Nowhere in the words of the Bible, in the words of the Torah, is there a word for religion. Kabbalah is something that is revealed by something outside of the physical world. In my opinion, it is the Creator. Other people use different words. One does not need to believe in God to utilize Kabbalah, to utilize these tools. These tools work just like gravity works. We can observe gravity, and then we can give it a name, say, call it gravity, or we can call it something else. But it still will cause the pen to fall to the table. We do not have to believe in God to use Kabbalah, but we do have to have an open mind. Mysticism is a word that means I don't understand. It's mystical. It's a mystery. Kabbalah is understood. It is understood on the level of utilization. Do I have to know what Kabbalah is in order to use it? The answer is no. I can just use the tool of Kabbalah. It is understood on the level of utilizing a tool or tools. Do I use a screwdriver? Do I use a hammer? The various tools of Kabbalah are spiritually the same, but they're dealing in mystical things. They're dealing in spirituality. They're dealing in things that are not physical. Does not mean they don't exist. But that's up to you to determine. The Kabbalah is a science. It is understood the same way some understand how to build a computer, and some understand how to use a computer. It's not mysticism. It's a tool. A computer is a tool. The Kabbalah is a tool. Some people will tell you that you need to be married. You have to be a man and not a woman. You have to be over 40 to study the Kabbalah. The question to ask the person who says that to you is, where is this written? And if his answer or her answer is, well, that's what my rabbi said, you said, then ask them, where is it written? And they will find, they will return an answer to you, it's not written. Many of the Kabbalists studied Kabbalah, became experts in the Kabbalah, had experiences of the Creator before they were 40. Some even before they were married. Most of the Kabbalists actually started studying the Kabbalah, the science of Kabbalah, while they were teenagers. The Gaon de Vilna was 19 when he started to study the Kabbalah. The Arizal was 11. Rabbi Chaim Luzzatto was 15. The Baal Shem Tov was earlier than 15. Some people will tell you that Kabbalah makes you crazy. Yes, it does. It makes you crazy happy. It teaches you how to be joyful when the world is having one of its days, like the current experience that the world is having now, having to do with the plague, the coronavirus. Can you be joyful when people are dying? The answer is yes, you can be joyful, but you still need to feel the pain of the families that have lost their parents, or their brothers, or their sisters, or their spouses, or their children. God forbid to all of these losses. It makes you happy when the world seems to be going against you, and you realize that you are growing in your experience, in your knowledge. Yes, you can still lose the money in the stock market. Yes, you can still have pain in your life. Yes, you can still have various forms of chaos in your life. But you don't have to be sad. You can still be happy. It's a choice to be happy. It's a choice to be sad. These are things that the Kabbalah will help you learn how to be happy. If you look at children playing, 2-year-olds, 1-year-olds, 3-year-olds, they're happy. They laugh. Everything is new and exciting and joyful. As an adult, we have responsibilities. We don't realize that we have a choice. Something what we determine is negative, bad, it happens in that day. How will you respond to it? How will you perceive it? This is the experience of the Kabbalah. If you experience it as joy, you will be joyful. It won't get you down. And in that sense, people say Kabbalah makes you crazy because it does not follow those normal human expectations. What's the difference? The person experiences everything as coming from the Creator. The person experiences everything as what they need to experience for various reasons of cleansing, or pain that's cleansing, or joy that is bringing you closer to the Creator, closer to God. But again, you don't have to know God. You don't have to believe in God to utilize the tools. You just have to try the tools and see that they work in your life. Some people will say that you have to be an expert in the Talmud, both in the Mishneot and the Gemara. But this is also not true, according to Rabbi Ashlag. When the Talmud is difficult to understand, the Kabbalah will clarify it. When you need to know something from the Talmud to understand the Kabbalah, the information will be provided to you. This is the natural order of Kabbalah. The Hebrew word kabel means to receive. What is it we are receiving? To answer this, we must understand what vocabulary is being used. Every book of Kabbalah has been written in a language that is not a normal human language. It is written in the language of branches. What is the language of branches? To explain the term, the language of branches, let us look at the Kabbalah book called the Bible, the Torah. You may have read the Bible, or you may know some stories from the Bible that you learned in Sunday school. And you let us use this experience as a child to explain to you the language of branches. In the Bible, there is a story of Abraham being told to leave his father's house and go to a land that he will be shown. This story starts with the term Lech Lecha. Go for yourself. Or it means go, go. Or it means you yourself. All of these English translations are valid. depending on the vowels that are used. There are no vowels in the Torah scroll or in the Bible. There are only letters that have formed words. The language of branches uses words that describe physical things, to describe spiritual things. Abraham is both a human being and a metaphor for the soul leaving his father's house in heaven. The land that he will be shown is the body that the soul Abraham inhabited for the 175 years. All Kabbalistic writings are in the language of branches, and the Zohar is the code book that explains the language. It also helps to have a teacher who has been taught the language of branches. My teachers are many and varied, and they all teach the language of branches. Academic Kabbalists do not teach the language of branches. Before you have questions, and I'm sure you have, and you may interrupt at any time, let's go back to the handout list and open up the short F test. It's a sentence. Finished files are the result of years of scientific study combined with the experience of years. Now count the letter F in that sentence. It could be a small F or a capital F. But only count it once. And I will give you a few minutes, couple minutes to count it. Starting now. Give you another minute to finish counting.
Can you tell me where to find the F?
Yeah, you find the F on the basic class one at the bottom of the page where it says handouts. It's the second link. The same place that you found the handout for the introduction to Kabbalah. Now, when I teach this class in a physical setting where people are in the same room, I would ask you to tell me how many you counted. But it isn't necessary to say it out loud how many you counted. The question is, did you get it right? And you're going to determine that when I give you the answer. What happened in the past with physical people in a physical room, if somebody out of 100 people maybe three, maybe five got it right. The others counted wrong. It seems like a simple thing. How do you count? The number of F's in that sentence are six. Only you know whether you got that right or you got it wrong. The people who got it right in the physical rooms did so because English was not their primary language. And so when they read the word of, O-F, they realized it was a letter F and not a V, so they counted it. But most of the people missed the letter, the word of, O-F. Why did they miss it? Why do people make mistakes? Does the Creator make mistakes? Does the world operate in a way that it allows for mistakes? The answer is no. In nature, if an animal makes a mistake, he doesn't eat because he can't kill the animal who got away. And if the animal who is the prey makes a mistake, he dies. In the physical world, there are no room for mistakes. But we're human and we make mistakes. Why? And the Kabbalah explains, we make mistakes because we think this is a simple test and I know the answer. I don't have to really take my time and count each letter and see which letters are an F and which are not. So we see the words as a whole. So we count an F in finished and the second one in files. And maybe we counted the first of, O-F. So there are now three. But we'll skip or miss that fourth one where it's the second of, O-F. Because as we go through this reading in our mind, we don't see the F, we see the sound of a V. Then we find the fifth letter is in scientific, fifth F. And then we go all the way to the third of, or to get the sixth F. But our minds do this quickly. We know how to read. We're well educated. We don't take the time to observe completely. So now you know the answer of how to pass this test. And if I were to go and talk for a few more minutes about the Kabbalah, you would forget the answer that I gave you because we're human and we think we know things. We think we've been taught things. And the truth is, we have been taught incorrectly. And I don't care if you're 10 years old, if you're 100 years old. You have learned things incorrectly. And most of what you learn in these Kabbalah basic classes is how to read, how to learn truth. without injecting your own ego into the knowledge. But understanding that takes a time. It takes unlearning the way you've learned and learning a different way, a more complete way, where you don't make mistakes as often. Will you always make mistakes? Only you know the answer to that. Whenever you inject your ego, you make a mistake. Whenever you don't inject your ego, you get the right answer. This is what Hashem has created, a human body and a human soul that can only do what is correct as long as we don't separate ourselves from the Creator. That's what the Kabbalah will teach you how to do. So now I'm going to go back and do the third link on the handouts. It's titled The Long F Test. And again, take 2 to 3 minutes and count the number of F's in this sentence. Franklin Featherstone is sometimes referred to as the father of refrigerated freight because of his efforts to publish the benefits of this form of transport. Take a few minutes and count the letter S in that sentence. One more minute. Please stop counting. You've been taught how to do this correctly without making a mistake. Did you make a mistake again? when I had the class in the physical form with people in a room, not on the internet, 80% of the people continued to make a mistake. They continued to miscount the number of letter Fs. There are 14 letter Fs in this sentence. People would get it wrong. Why? They knew how to do it. I explained it with the short letter test, the short test. I explained how to do it properly. Yet they continued to make the same error. They didn't count the letters S in the word of, O-V, instead of O-F, the way it's spelled. They would skip the two F's in the word efforts. There are many different areas that people make the mistake. I don't know whether you made the mistake or you didn't. It doesn't matter. The purpose of these tests is to teach us that this world is an illusion, that we do not perceive truth with our senses. If I took a glass of cold water with ice in it, have it sitting in it with the ice for 10 minutes, and then I poured the water into another glass so there was no ice in the second glass, and if I put my finger in the water, it would feel cold. But if I put my finger in a glass of hot water, my finger would still tell me that it's cold. Why? Because our senses were designed to let us see the illusion, not the truth. Why would our senses be created to see an illusion? And that's a subject that we'll go into next week. The important thing is to realize that your senses are there to fool you, to not let you see the truth. Next week, we'll learn why the senses are that way. There's a fourth link called the dot test. And you can open up that link, and it's a very simple test, but many people spend hours between this Monday and next Monday trying to do it correctly, because our perceptions interfere in the correct process. I will explain the dot test to you next week. I will explain the answer. The purpose of this class was to teach you that the world is an illusion. Have I proven that to you? No. Have I taught it to you? Yes. Have you learned it? More than likely, no. But go through this coming week and look for the illusions. You will find them. We will discuss it next week. I hope to see you back next Monday at the same time. Are there any questions? I bid you all have a beautiful evening, a beautiful day. Shalom. Peace to all.
Shalom. Shalom. Thank you.